Excuse me. It is 5 minutes past 9 o'clock. Welcome back. You're listening to Gershel Brooks in 702. It's great to be in your company. Of course, guys, you know that what numbers to dial. 011-883-0702. If you want to make a quick contribution, if you want to mention something quickly, please do go ahead and do that from now all the way through to the top of the hour. But of course, we open up lines in the next 25 minutes. Giving you an opportunity to obviously chime in on anything and everything that's on your mind, particularly stuff coming out of the show thus far. But up next, I'm looking forward to this conversation, and not because it's something fun and happy to chat about. It again is the SABC, and I guess all of us are sitting back and looking at the situation and thinking to ourselves, what on earth is going to happen now again at the SABC, since it seems to be going through dire straits yet again? And joining me on the line, of course, is Thandi Smith, who is the head of policy at Media Monitoring Africa. Good evening to you, and thank you for joining us, Thandi.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
And this is the other thing that I do, by the way, just letting you know.
I know. It's great.
But Thandi, I mean, just to kick things off, what is the situation at the SABC, considering that the last time at least I saw any headlines about the SABC, you know, it read doom and gloom again, because we sort of forgot about it after, you know, sort of the management, the senior management at the SABC were told that, no, sorry, you can't go ahead and retrench people, especially, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but especially in an election year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that we're in an election period just gives it so much more gravity to the situation and makes it that much more dire. You know, we've seen a series of crises over the last couple of, not only months, but years, and yet we find ourselves again in a situation where we can't seem to save the SABC out of the situation it's in. And what I struggle with, I guess, is that this isn't new. The situation, the financial situation the SABC is in, has been reported on for months already. You know, the board approached government the guarantee near the end of last year. And the SABC has repeatedly presented in Parliament on these issues, warning everyone about the financial position it's in, saying that come the end of March, beginning of April, it's looking really, really bad. And all of a sudden, you know, in the election period, now where the public broadcast is the focus of political, you know, campaigning and advertising, now all of a sudden government is sort of picking things up, going, oh, okay, well, you know, here's some interim relief. But it's just not good enough.
But I mean, let's look at the situation at the SABC, because what is that relief that is going to be provided in the interim? Because obviously, you know, when you see a report that says, listen here, guys, we're not even sure if we are able to pay salaries at the end of March. I mean, it is a dire state of affairs, and there's no other way to put it. Now, there is going to be relief, and I think that there is a point to be made, Thandi, from what you said, that, you know, we can't sort of have these piecemeal agreements made that, oh, okay, we're going to help you guys out for a little bit now. We need a sustainable solution, and it seems that it's not on the cards at the moment, especially since the political principles are in campaign mode rather than dealing with the crisis at hand.
Exactly. If we were dealing with the crisis at hand, we would have dealt with it 3 months ago, you know. And we've also seen the process happening in Parliament around board appointments, you know, I have to say, is another interesting point, is that at the moment we don't have a core board. So whatever governance decisions and legal decisions that need to be taken around the interim relief can't happen without a core board. So it's a little bit more complicated than, you know, just sort of meets the eye. But the other issue is that the sort of deliberate crisis that we've seen be put on the SABC over the last couple of months, one cannot think, but it's a politically strategic move to do this. And we have to ask those questions again about what is motivating the decisions now. And, you know, because this has been on the cards for a couple of months, you would think that the announcement of an interim relief would come with far more detail around how this would be structured, especially that the end of March is 2 weeks away.
Exactly. And, you know, you have a lot of people that have done work throughout the course of this month that would obviously be waiting for their salaries. But the fact of the matter is that come May, you know, once the 8th of May is done and dusted, the issue is that I have a very strong suspicion that a lot of those people that might have gotten that interim relief might be sitting there and saying that, listen, we need more relief and a little less interim this time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have seen decisions being taken by the board around trying to, you know, look at restructuring, trying to look at you know, how to work with funding, how to work with the budgets. And if you have a look at the presentation that they did in Parliament yesterday, you can see the figures and you can see where they're cutting costs and, you know, where they're trying to solve this. But again, it's not just an easy solution around going, oh, just cut down your costs. What we are seeing is that a lot of the costs are being cut around programming. And we know this around independent producers not being paid and the issues that have come up there over the last few months. But it's actually stated that there has been costs cut around programming, and more repeated programming is being put on TV. So you have to be able to balance the quality of programming with trying to fix a sinking institution. And it's not just a simple, you know, quick fix of interim relief. You know, the board did talk about the retrenchments. We know that that was a big issue, a very emotional issue that affects a lot of people's lives.
Of course.
But, you know, it's one of those things that if it's a transparent, accountable process and you've sort of gone through every other avenue, then that has to be, that does need to be something to consider. And that, you know, you can look at the entire media industry as a whole and look at how companies are struggling to retain staff and keep afloat. And the public broadcast is no different.
But Tandi, I mean, you and I both know on good authority that people have taken pay cuts, that they've made all kinds of accommodations to be able to obviously, you know, sustain their jobs and survive and keep this ship called the SABC with many, many, many gaping holes in it afloat. You know, sustainable, number one, in the least bit, because at some stage those people are going to get sick and tired of that situation and we are going to have a mass exodus yet again. And we know that part of the problem of such a mass exodus is that you actually lose serious expertise, part of the problem at the moment. That's the first point. But apart from that, the issue is that, of course, the key question that we have to ask ourselves at the center of all of this is how much of this has to do with the fact that right now we're sitting sans board, that we're sitting with a board that doesn't have a quorum and from what I understand would then leave the institution in a state whereby it's almost unable to move at all.
No, exactly. That's the exact reason, you know, why we've been pushing and putting so much pressure on Parliament to make the board appointments. You know, we started this process at the end of November already, and we're now sitting in March, 3-4 months later, and we still don't have a core board. And, you know, that only points to the issue that it's a politically strategic, deliberate crisis that we find ourselves in. And, you know, the only sort of solution at this point is making sure the board appointments are made with the right people and the right caliber of people to continue the independent work that the board needs to do and give the guarantee that the institution needs, not just simply an interim relief.
Now, you mentioned... I'm sorry for interjecting there, but I mean, you did mention the fact that there's obviously an ongoing parliamentary process when it comes to the board appointment. And what I'd like to understand, though, is where are we in that particular process? Because from what I hear anecdotally, and I haven't been, you know, unfortunately, I sit in the office all day, so I'm not able to catch up on every commission of inquiry, every bit of news.
And there are lots at the moment.
You know what I mean? And then at the very same time, I understand that these, you know, looking for the new board is actually underway at this point in time, but apparently it doesn't necessarily send the greatest amount of confidence or inspire the greatest amount of confidence, because lo and behold, you have people that don't understand digital versus terrestrial. You have people that don't know what OTT is and goodness knows whatever else. would probably be important for a board member to know.
Yeah, I mean, so at the point where we are now is that the interviews have taken place. There were 24 shortlist candidates that the Portfolio Committee on Communications went through, interviewed the candidates, and I believe that they are now going to put forward names to nominate to be on the board. The issue is that we don't have time to waste around board appointments. If we were doing this 6 months ago, then you could, you know, have a full process and take the time, go back and forth. But we have to appoint the board. You know, I can't stress enough how urgent it is.
No, but quite
again,
clearly, yeah.
Given the urge, even though we're in this urgent situation, we can't let that be a sort of political backfoot into putting on the board whoever MPs just want to put on because of, you know, catered deployment, which we may as well have dissolved the board and just had an interim board, which you would just get whoever you can to sit on the board from a parliamentary process anyway, which is not a good situation to be in either. So, you know, all options at the moment are quite depressing, to be completely honest. But I do have to say that even through all of this, we have to commend the SABC staff and editorial management for keeping up the sort of independent programming that we are seeing.
And that's very true, actually, because that's another issue that I wanted to highlight. I mean, in terms of news, I mean, there was one of their taglines is obviously independence, and it's a massive focus, something that I heard for the very first time. Obviously, we know that at EWN, Eyewitness News, you know, independence has always been at the center of the motto, but the SABC is definitely making it a focus of theirs as well, which is great because that inspires a lot more confidence where you feel that you're not listening to propaganda, but much rather news.
No, exactly. And we've seen this sort of improve and increase over the last couple of months. And that, for me, is a direct indication that we're on the right track with an independent board. And you know, that's the exact reason why you see the sort of back and forth and pulling back and pressure from the Department of Communications and various, you know, ministers trying to censor footage of ANC rallies. But SABC was the first. Well, they put it on their headline news. They covered the story, and that would have never happened a year or two ago.
Yeah, exactly, because Cloudy might have felt that it might upset people, inspire them, I don't know, to start a riot of some sort. But I mean, apart from that, the important bit for me that also stands out about this then is also, I mean, just as a segue into that, of course, is that allegation that came out recently where Fikile Mbalula had to defend himself vociferously. As sort of the lead campaigner on behalf of the ANC, we said that, listen, I never said that, or we never complained about the lack of coverage that we're receiving for our election campaigns. In fact, you know, someone must be mistaken in this instance. But I mean, immediately, that already puts you in it raises the eyebrows. You become suspicious and you're wondering, why is there such a delay with appointing a board? Why are there so many situations arising whereby, you know, the SABC has literally been put in a position of crisis?
Yeah, I mean, there are too many unanswered questions and there are too many sort of connections between all of this that you can't help but to think that it is a political move which is the reason that we find ourselves in this situation with the SABC. And, you know, after the whole episode with Fikile Mbalula, we had to comment on the issue, and the depressing part is that the last local elections was the first time that we as MMA found biased reporting on the SABC. But it was a very different SABC back then. And I mean, to be completely honest, we don't often find the SABC does very well during an election period. There are certain regulations and license conditions that come into play the minute the election period gets announced. Mm. And media that fall under those license conditions tend to behave quite well, especially when it comes to sort of biased reporting. And our monitoring shows that SABC at the moment is maintaining that sort of good performance. And we'd be the first ones to say that there's biased reporting if we pick it up. And we've also got great institutions with great accountability mechanisms. We've got the Press Council, we've got BCCSA, where you can complain if you do think that there's unfair reporting, which, you know, Fikile Mlilo should do if he feels the same.
And which then directly implies that there is no need for you to drive down to Auckland Park, go sit down, have a sit down with the CEO or the COO for that matter, or any of the board members and say, but guys, we're getting unfair coverage here. That there are other mechanisms, external mechanisms, that are obviously free and fair, and they obviously external to the whole process, and they can say, but hang on, SABC, maybe you are a bit errant in how you're going about doing this whole process.
Yeah, I mean, the public broadcaster, because of the relationship it has with government, with the minister being the key shareholder, and with it being a SEO, you know, I think that people often tend to blur those lines between what it means to be a public broadcaster and what it means to be a state broadcaster. And the problem is, at the moment, because of the interference that we've seen, or the at least the very hard attempts at interference, we're blurring those lines between public and state broadcaster. So the SABC does have to work extra hard to maintain its independence and prove to its audience that it is a credible public broadcaster that's, you know, following a particular mandate. But to do that, we need a core board, we need an independent board, and we need the minister and government to let the SABC do what it needs to do.
Indeed. But I mean, okay, so we're in this particular position right now, Thandi, as it stands. Again, we're getting sort of promises or guarantees of, listen, guys, we'll help you out in this particular instance. I can't remember how much money has been promised, and I don't know whether that money takes us beyond the election period. In fact, I mean, A, does it actually take us past the election period, so that at the on the face of it, it doesn't look like a carrot and stick scenario from government side when it comes to the importance of elections, inverted commas. That's the first concern that I think most of us have, or most rational people would have. And second to that, I mean, where to next from here in terms of solving this particular problem? Because post-elections, guess what? Thousands of freelancers and permanent staff at the SABC could find themselves again having to face a retrenchment because of an SOE that has fallen apart. They're trying to, you know, constantly fix this thing in terms of its, at least on the programming side, it seems great. But it seems clearly that there's a management and administrative problem within the SABC. How do we fix it?
Well, for me, there are two issues. Well, the first around the interim relief. At this point, we've got no idea what details are around that deal. Apparently, it's being negotiated, or apparently it's being unpacked and explained. And hopefully we will get some more information soon. We haven't been able to get any other sort of information about how much they're willing to help with, how long the period is.
There I guess really we shouldn't ask where the money's coming from.
Well, you know, according to other people, the money comes from somewhere. So, So, unfortunately, I can't really answer those questions because we just don't have that information. And, you know, interim relief isn't going to help the situation. I think what we need to do, like you say about, well, where do we go to from here? We need to let the experts, people who know what they're doing on the board, let them do the job of implementing the turnaround strategy at the SABC. This is a strategy that has been developed over the last few months. It has been approved as a strategy, and we need to give it time. There isn't a quick fix. We're dealing with years and years of a legacy of mismanagement, a legacy of political interference, a legacy of inflated salaries, of, inadequate HR processes, inadequate governance, and that doesn't just fix itself overnight. So there are very, dire institutional problems that will take, months, if not years, to turn around. And, I guess, unfortunately, there are going to be people who suffer from that. But as long as the processes happen from a, the sort of best practice perspective, that and they're also transparent about the processes, that, there are accountability mechanisms in place, and, all sort of situations and scenarios are explored, and solutions are really the only hope. I mean, I think, let me be clear, we have to have our public broadcaster. There's no question about
that. No, of course. It's not. Yeah, we can't just privatize. We can't just split it into three.
No, we can't do any
of those fancy things. This year needs to work in its current shape and form, obviously, at a much more efficient level. Final issue for you, Thandi, that I just want to touch on before we end this conversation. Obviously, you and I spoke at length about this interim relief and how it's being offered and what it's meant for, et cetera, et cetera. The concern, though, is that obviously, especially yourselves at Media Monitoring Africa would have to do a lot more work in terms of making sure that it's not money that's being given by government. And I think we also need to understand what we mean by government, because government has a particular context. Government is led and run by a governing party, a party that was elected into office, and it's running for elections yet again. We are 2 months away from those elections, and a lot can happen within 2 months. I mean, I'm sure that there is going to be a lot of monitoring on your side to make sure that it's not money for ransom, but that rather it's money that is meant to keep the SABC alive and going whilst it's doing its job of being objective and fair.
Absolutely. And so we are monitoring. We're monitoring all of our news media, not just the SABC.
No,
but we will be watching the SABC very closely. And, at this point, we're ready to launch applications with whatever court we need to. The minute we feel that there's undue political interference or unnecessary pressure or biased reporting as a result of, financial or monetary favors, I suppose. And that links back to what I was saying about the transparency aspect. As long as it's not, negatively affecting the running of the institution, the outcome of the programming and content, then, that relief needs to get filtered down and spent on what the most important aspects of keeping the institution running. I think if anything, all of this coverage and all of the awareness around the institution is at least giving it the attention it needs for it to be in the public eye. There is a lot of interest in what's going on at the SABC. So I don't think that they could very easily get away with swaying content in favor
in
of the ANC
direction
or the government. You put it well, in a particular direction without someone or without organizations picking it up.
No, indeed.
And we will challenge that if it comes up.
All I was going to say is until someone shoves their hand in front of a camera. Thank you so much, Thandi. All the best to you. Have a great one.
Thank you, and you. Thanks.
That was Thandi Smith, Head of Policy at Media Monitoring Africa.